Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Tonight we're in part 187 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is program number 289. So you might want a copy of it after we finish tonight. So have a paper and pencil ready. It's absolutely free. Postage and handling is taken care of. Please specify whether you want a tape copy or a CD. Sharon will tell you four ways of how to get a copy of it at the end of the program. And tonight we have some music from Jack Holcomb and myself. And also we have some real good testimonials that have been sent in. And we also have a powerful message from the Lord that is absolutely, if you follow it, it will get you closer to God than you've ever been in your life. All right, so right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this service. Father, we thank your holy name. Holy, holy, holy God Almighty, we thank your holy name for giving us the opportunity to get into the kingdom of heaven. And I see, Lord, that you've given billions of people. There have probably been 50, 60 billion people living on this earth since the beginning of time. And you've given billions of people an opportunity, and there's 6 billion people approximately here on earth today, and you need more recruits to learn your word so they can go out into the field, which is the world, and win these souls to salvation so that they don't have to spend eternity in hell. If people don't have that much mercy in them, well, then there'll be no mercy shown unto them at the judgment bar of God. They'll stand before the great white throne and they'll scream their heads off because they'll see themselves going out into eternity, and because they didn't listen to your word, they mocked it, they thumbed their nose at your word, which is you. And they will, it's the same thing as laughing at you and mocking you. And you, in the first chapter of Proverbs, say that you'll do the exact same thing to them as they're going out into hell and the lake of fire. You're going to mock them and laugh at them. And some people say, they're so crazy, they even say, Father, that they just couldn't serve a God like you. That isn't going to hurt you at all. Not at all. I know that, and of course, more than anyone, you know that. So, Lord, because what good is it to do, say, I won't serve a God like that, when you're the judge and you're the one that has the power to send them into hell? Even Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You must love one and hate the other. He says, don't fear him who can take your life, but fear God. Fear him who can take your life and cast it into hell. Now, does that sound like sweet Jesus to you that the false prophets are preaching today? It doesn't sound like it to me. It's like unrealistic. It's like a silly birthday party or a going to the carnival or to some foolish place like a state fair. Oh, I'm against state fairs. No, but if I were you, I'd spend more time. Father, I would spend... I'm telling them, you're telling them to spend more time before you, because if they don't, it's a long time. Eternity is forever and ever. And to just be punished all those years for not paying any attention to Jesus. Father, most people don't read the Bible enough to know that Jesus is the Word of God. The Word who became flesh and dwelt among us humans here on earth. And they crucified him. A day or two before he was crucified, the same crowd was saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, and laying palm branches before his feet. And then the next day, they were like crucifying him at the cross, saying, kill him, kill him. That goes to show that we shouldn't put our trust in human beings, that we should trust only Jesus, because human beings will turn on you like a dime. I've had so many people in this church, Lord, that we had them in the church for 20 years. And really, I couldn't get that close to any of them because of the total impact of having a church of this magnitude. But we paid for their homes to be built, their furniture, their electricity, their lights. We fed them, clothed them, housed them. And we took care of their babies being born. We built schools for the children and took them on. We did everything impossible, especially with the small amount of money that we had. And they went out when they wanted to be sinners again, and they went out and talked about us as though they're making up some excuse to tell you at the judgment bar of God why they fell away and became homosexuals or drug addicts or prostitutes or whatever sin they're into, drunkards. And they think that if they make up something about Sue or myself, that that's going to give them an excuse to not go to hell. They say that we deceive them. But we are the only ones on the face of this earth, and we have their testimonies recorded on tape on our television program, our radio program, and on tracks, everything. We're the only ones that ever told them about you, the truth of you. We never preach ourselves. We preach Jesus and Him crucified, that He rose from the dead. He was buried and rose from the dead and walked and was seen by the disciples for 40 days. The Lord told him to go to the upper room and tarry so that He could baptize them in the Holy Spirit so that He could live within them. Before this, when they were locked up in a room because they were frightened, He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And He blew the Holy Spirit into them. But then on top of this, He said, "Now there's something else. Something else. Go to Jerusalem and stay in the upper room there. You are in Jerusalem, but go up in the upper room there and tarry. Tarry long before me until I send you the Holy Spirit." The baptism of the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to be in the ministry and to live a holy life. But then people decide not to live a holy life, and the spirit of Satan enters into him, who is a liar, and he likes to lie about people that are of the Lord. He likes to just figure out something and as an excuse that they can backslide and go out and live an unholy life. Well, Lord, you tell, you know, this program is too short, only an hour long, to be able to tell everything that you say about people like that. I'll just mention a couple of them. You say that they're like dogs that have returned back to their vomit and lapped it up. They're vomit-lapping dogs and sows that have gone back to their wallowing in the mire. That's what they are. All right, because that's what you say, and you are the truth. You're the truth, and no matter what they say, your truth will stand eternally. Well, Father God, we thank and praise you. We pray that you open up hearts, souls, minds, and spirits, because they need to let you come into their heart, into their spirits. When your spirit enters their spirit, then they have eternal life if they continue on to the end. But if they continue not to the end, your word states that they are dogs that have gone back to their vomit, sows to their wallowing in the mire. So this should tell people, with all the different things that these false prophets are telling today, that the things that they're saying is false. We have to believe the word of God, because only God is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is God. When I saw the throne, Father, your throne, and you sitting on it, it was you, Jesus, and you said you are the Father. There's only one God. I only saw one person sitting on the throne, and it was you. And I saw that there were no nail pierces in your hand or any marks or scars on your forehead. We're not going there to see that a gory mess. All of us will be perfect when we get into the kingdom of heaven. If we've been in war, in battle, and had our arms or legs blown off, or an eye put out, or ears blown off, we should take courage in the knowledge of the Word of God that says there's no imperfection in the kingdom of heaven. I saw it. I know what I look like here, and I know what Susie looked like when she was here. And when I saw us both in heaven, we're absolutely perfect. And I might add, Father, marvelous to look at. So marvelous that I've never seen anything better looking in the whole universe. So everybody, my brother Danny saw my mother appear before him. You sent her there because he had such hatred for her, and she had a bouquet of flowers in her hand. And she kept pointing it at him, trying to hand it to him. And he couldn't figure out who it was because this woman was so beautiful, so absolutely beautiful. Years of beer and wine and roses had taken some of her beauty away. She was so beautiful that people asked her to be on the cover of magazines like Cosmopolitan, and magazines like that. And then all of a sudden he recognized that it was Mom! Mom! He couldn't believe it. He said it was the most beautiful woman he'd ever seen in his life. And God came down and said, Danny, if you don't forgive your mom, I won't be able to forgive you. He says, oh, my God, I forgive you. I forgive you, Mom. I forgive you. I forgive you. So we know that everybody's going to look perfect in the kingdom of God. Everybody's going to have all the 10 fingers and 10 toes and beautiful eyes and hair. And I saw you, Lord, there, and you were absolutely magnificent to look upon. You looked just like a man, but a very handsome man. And I was surprised because my hair was silver, very beautiful silver looking, and it was in ringlets close to my head like some of these statues of people in Rome or something. And I sort of had a little arched nose, and my skin and Susie's skin was gold, and my hair was silver next to it. It looked fantastic, and when I turned my head, a glint came out of my eyes. You were showing me that my bad eyes will be perfect in heaven. They'll be 20/20, so sharp that actual sparks fly out of my eyes. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Don't ever give up, you people that have been wounded in service, or any of you people that don't feel that the Lord bestowed you with great beauty or being handsome. Because you're going to love the way you look when you get into heaven. But don't give up. The Bible says there's a way how to stay holy. There's a way how to stay powerful in God. And this message is geared to do that. So listen, and you people that are not yet born again, receive the Lord. And those of you that know the Lord, let this message strengthen you to give you more confidence to approach the throne of God with great boldness. Father God, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Now then, most people, they really love the spiritual way that Jack Holcomb sings. And this, they were recorded a long time ago, but, you know, I don't particularly care for a lot of the gospel music today because it really isn't that spiritual. But Jack Holcomb sings with his heart. And I did a recording with a man that was very commercial when I was unsaved. And he had a thin voice, but it was very commercial. It was actually even more commercial than Elvis. And he wrote songs that were just absolute hits. And I couldn't record him with more than a bass, a drum, and a guitar. He played the guitar. We started hitting number one all over the country. And that's the way Jack Holcomb is. When you put then this young man that I was promoting, when I got saved, he went to England. He was still under contract with me. And he sang with the Rolling Stones, and they had such a big orchestra that it drowned him out. He couldn't sell a record because his voice was very small, very light, and with only and a small instrumentation, he was a winner. And I knew that. And that's why even Jack Nitzsche, who did arrangements for the Stones and for the Beatles, wanted to arrange him. I went up to, he called me up to his office. I thought it was just, you know, because we were friends. We had an office. I used to hang out with him and Sonny Bono and H.B. Barnum. And we had an office together. And I just wouldn't do it. I went up to his office. He had Jackie DeShannon there. And she was just going out on tour with the Beatles. And I just told him no, and he just kept asking me. I said, his voice is too small to do one of your big Phil Spector or your arrangements. It's just too much. And that's the way it is with Jack Holcomb. He has this really quiescence of the Lord's spirit in when he sings. And I'd like you to listen to him right now when he sings Rock of Ages. Cleft for me means open up for me, Lord. Let me get inside you and you get inside me. All right, Jack Holcomb. That was from the heart of Jack Holcomb. You can just feel the spirit, you know. I remember when I was first saved, Susie had a bunch of his records, and I used to love to just lay there and listen to those records and let the words, with the spirit. You know, these words that are not of the spirit, they don't minister to my heart. They don't minister to my mind that is now the mind of Christ. They don't minister this gospel rap, you know. Some people that are not that spiritual, they like it, I guess. but I don't understand it myself, outside of the fact that they must not. They cannot be that close to the Lord to receive such a thing as that. You know, and the reason for it is the wholeness of God is, and the sinfulness of us is such a great space between each other. And there's a middle wall of partition that is between the holiness of God and us. The holiness of God is really the distance or the space between himself and us. The space is a righteous thing that he has separated himself from us. It's right. God is always right. He separated us from himself, and yet also the unspeakable nearness in which he, in his love, longs to hold fellowship with us and dwell in us. You know, even after we're saved, we still need to draw closer and closer to God until we become the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We mustn't think that we've arrived the minute that we accept the Lord Jesus Christ with his Father by the Spirit in us. There's still a great distance between you and God because you don't know the whole word yet. And you haven't made it a practice to lay before the Lord a long time. So I'll say it another way, that the holiness of God is the expression of the unspeakable distance by which he, in his righteousness, because God is right, is separated from us, and yet also of the unspeakable nearness of him, in which, in his love, he loves us so much that he really longs to hold fellowship with us and dwell in us to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind, that you haven't arrived yet. If you're not praying always and always in prayer, then don't think so that you can tell, you know what the Lord's desire is for you every day, every minute of every day. That's why Jesus said, pray always. And Paul said, pray without ceasing. So we need to bow in humility, in the fear of the Lord, and also reverence. As you think of the immeasurable distance between you and God until you reach the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow in childlike confidence in the unspeakable desire of his love to be united with you in the deepest intimacy, and realize to think about and reckon most confidentially on him to reveal something of his holiness to the soul, to any soul that thirsts after him, that hungers after him, that waits upon him and is quiet before him. Now, we have some testimonies. In order to preach messages that are filled with the Spirit, because only you want to be filled with the Spirit, because if you want to be a preacher or a teacher, and I heard a minister today said what he thought was the difference between a minister of the gospel and a person that is a teacher. And he says, well, the minister is the one that catches the fish. Because what we do is we entice people with the Word of God, and the rewards that we receive by talking of him according to his Word. And he says the teachers are the congregation. Well, I beg to differ with you. I've been pastoring for 42 years now. And I can tell you that the congregation is not the teachers. And I'll tell you why, because the Bible says that you're not to suffer a novice to teach. Amen?
Amen.
And if they were, the Lord told me that the people in the church are not teaching the baby Christians in the church. And therefore, I have to do it. And so I thought, well, God knows I've been working in so many different areas of the church that I don't know. I guess I have time to do it. And so I just started doing it, and that's what I'm doing now. I'm teaching not only the congregation, but I'm doing it on radio here all over the world so that people can really hear the true gospel. God wants me to be a teacher, and he also wants me to be a preacher. He wants me to be a world leader. He wants me to be bold against the Antichrist regime in this world. And so we should take notice of how the two sides of the holiness of God are united in the cross. We must deny ourselves by taking up the cross and following the Lord Jesus. Denying ourselves on a daily basis means the time that we spend for ourselves and with others, and also with the Lord. We don't want to just spend a lot of time with people that are not of the Lord, but we want to spend time with the Lord. It was so terrible, meaning the aversion and anger of God against our sin. Look at how angry the Lord was with the people that sinned in the days of Noah. He drowned the entire world. And look in the book of Revelation of the things that he's going to do to this world, and in the book of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, of what he's going to do to this earth and the heavens, because sin was here on this earth, and sin was in the kingdom of heaven. And God is angry with sin and cannot stand it. He hates it. And so anything that has the taint of sin on it is not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. That's Bible. That Christ was left in the thick darkness because God, when sin was laid upon Jesus, both had to keep their minds on their faces from the brutality. They had to not look at the faces of the people that were doing these brutal things unto them, but they had to keep their mind on heaven and all the souls that were going to be saved by him biting the bullet, so to speak, and allowing himself. He was faithful all throughout his entire life. He was begotten by the Holy Spirit, and he had to look upon, turn his face away, even the Father, because the Father was in Jesus when they all went to the cross, the Holy Spirit. He became sin for us. Sin, our sins went on him, because he wouldn't make the point of that it was our sin that put him to death, but that didn't mean that he was a sinner. In other words, he took the punishment, and it's a figure of speech to say that he became sin for us. It's also Bible. The Bible says that he became sin for us. He took our place, because there is no person that can go into the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, there's no way that sin can be erased off your soul without the shedding of blood. And God was totally disgusted with the sacrifice of animals, which were figures, types, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was going to come and die for the world and to shed his blood for us, so that the sins, the horrible sins that we've committed by ignoring the Lord and not praying to him without ceasing. You realize that when the Lord commands us to pray without ceasing and to pray always, that this means that if we don't do it, then we're sinning. Because when a person is not obedient, then that's a sin. That is a horrible sin. As a matter of fact, It isn't the sin of ignorance at all. It's just a horrible sin. A sin of disobedience. He says, I'd rather have obedience rather than sacrifice. Now, you can sacrifice your body to be burned. And that doesn't mean a thing. Anyone can, you know, you see people committing suicide. So that doesn't take much character to just kill yourself or throw yourself into a fire. But what is character is to bite the bullet and go through it. The persecution, the lies, the slander, and the things that people that are not of the Lord do to people that are carrying the gospel in these last days, and actually those that have been carrying the gospel for centuries have all had the same problem. But the Bible tells us that there's no way that we can become perfect unless we go through the fire of tribulation and trials and persecutions. And so people should not hate that, because you grow bigger in the Lord, is stronger and nearer to Him, because a lot of times when people are ignoring the prayer life, the Lord will allow these things to happen so that you'll draw nearer and nearer and nearer to the Lord, to be where you're able to take the persecution the same way that Jesus did. So God hates sin. And the devil wants to do everything he can to cause you to want to throw the towel in and say, I'm done with Christianity. I'm not going to serve the Lord anymore because people talk bad about me in the church, and they slander me in the church. And, you know, it looks better out there because people don't slander you out there. And no, because they're not of the Lord. The devil already has those people. But the minute that those people out there give their hearts to the Lord so that their souls can be saved and their loved ones, well, then here comes the difficult mountain. The storms start coming at you like you can't even believe. It's hard for me. It was hard for me to believe the Bible because those things didn't happen to me. I didn't suffer any persecution. And you know something? When we're unsaved, we think we're right. We really think that we're big deals and that we're God's gift to the world to promote things. I did anyway, and all kinds of other things. Singers think that they're just like gods or goddesses. And some of them, I don't understand how they ever made it, because I hear them and I just I would, if they had to depend on me to make a living, they'd be starving to death, so far as having to buy their records or something like that. But at any rate, Christ was left in the thick darkness because God, when sin was laid upon Jesus, both Christ and his Father had to keep their minds and their eyes, their faces away. They had to turn it away from the brutality. They had to stay in heavenly places. And you know, the Bible states, these things were going on and were being done to them. And yet, so deep was the love of God toward us, and so deep was his desire to be united with us, that he spared not his Son, even himself. He himself was in his Son, Christ Jesus. You know, like the disciple asked him, show us the Father. And Jesus said, the Father is in me. Amen?
Amen.
I am the Father. I'm the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're not three different people. They're three, like my head, my mind, my heart, and my soul are all me. So the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is the same as the head, heart, and soul of God. All of them are one. So he was in his Son, and he went on the cross with him. But he gave him and himself over to unutterable suffering. Not just suffering, but sufferings. The reason for it was so that he might receive us to be in union with Christ, because if we're not in union with Christ, the God that became man, well, then there's no possible way that we can go to heaven. We have to be in union with Christ. In other words, if we're in union with Christ, he can receive us. God the Father can receive us into heaven. But if we're not in union with Christ, God the Father cannot receive us in heaven. But if we're not in union with Jesus, then we cannot. But he can receive us when we're united with Christ into his holiness, because only Christ is holy. And when we get close to the Father in Christ, if we're sitting with him in heavenly places, then we too are holy. There's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but are in Christ Jesus, but are in the Spirit, that we're laying before God long time, every day. If you're not doing that, you better check your itinerary, your schedule, and find out what different times of the day that you can sacrifice to get a hold of the Lord. But if we're in him and laying before the throne of God long time, Lord, laying before the throne of Christ, in other words, when I saw the throne, I saw Christ there and no one else, because he is God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Bible plainly states that he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I also heard Reverend Hagee today saying that God made everything out of nothing. My God, the Bible says that everything was made by Christ. Is Christ nothing? Huh?
No.
Don't be afraid. Reverend Hagee's not here. He won't hit you. All right? Is Christ nothing?
No.
Is he something?
Yes.
He is all in all, everything. Christ, the Bible says that everything was made by him, not nothing. Everything was made by him, and without him was nothing. There wasn't anything that was made, all right? Mm-hmm. It was made by him and for him, not made by nothing and for nothing. Was it?
No.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
If I were you, I'd tune that guy out. All right? He says a few good things and everything, but he throws in so much heresy. He keeps talking about himself being a German. Reverend Hagee, become a Christian, please, all right, and stop this foolishness and your jokes. If you spent more time in the Word of God, you wouldn't make so many, I don't know, mistakes or deliberate mistakes. I hope they're not deliberate. I hope they're in ignorance. But the Bible says that we were made in every way like Jesus. He didn't have any special blood in him. He had human blood in him. Amen?
Amen.
He had human feelings, everything about him. He was the Son of Man. But Reverend Higgins, he had the blood of God in him. No, we all have the blood of God in us. I mean, God, the blood that God made us to flow through our veins in order to keep us alive. But his blood was no different than ours. It had to be genuine, human, sinless blood that was shed for us that will take the sin off of our souls, okay? So when we're united with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in union with him into God's holiness, which is the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
You want to go to heaven?
Amen.
Why? Because of the alternative, right?
Amen.
What is the alternative?
Hell.
And what else?
Heaven.
And
the lake of fire.
What? No, the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody says heaven. Okay. So we want to be united with Christ into God's holiness. And he presses us to his heart as his beloved children. If we do. But if we don't, we're not his beloved children. That's the only way he can do that with us, is if we're in Christ. So we must study the words of which is Christ, of the Word of God, which is Christ, and the things that he said and did, that we may also be accounted that we're in him, in his holiness, united in him into God's holiness, so that we can enter in. Enter in where?
The kingdom of heaven.
Into Christ, and we have to stay in Christ. Those that continue in him to the end shall be, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Well then, do we have some testimonials this evening?
Yes.
Okay, where would the first one be from?
From India.
India. Okay, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. First, I want to introduce myself. I am Kaluri. I completed my degree also. Now I'm living in a small town named Tadapally Gulam. I am from a Hindu family, but now I am purely Christian, no doubt at all. One day, unfortunately, I lost my parents by accident. My relatives also left me in a few days. At that time, I had no proper shelter. I worshiped so many gods of Hindus and followed strictly my religious customs and practices, but there was no reply from them. My problems were increased than before, and it was very hard to make meals also. So I decided to die at that time. I thought that why am I living with such troubles? Then I went to the railway station to die. At that time, one pastor was coming towards me, and he gave me one newsletter and literature which were written by Pastor Tony Alamo. Then I want to read once before going to die. But fortunately, that valuable literature written by you brought me back and gave me new life. So I very much appreciate Pastor Tony Alamo. Your newsletter kept me alive today. After I went to my house, I read completely the newsletter and the Messiah book. Thereafter, I am living in Christ and believe that Jesus cleansed my sins with his blood. I took baptism at a church which is near us. Thereafter, my total life is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I strongly decided that I want to do gospel service. That's why now I'm doing the gospel service among the women, especially young girls. Nowadays, girls are disturbing their lives with bad habits, and in our country, women also follow religious practices.
Bad habits, I call it, the Lord calls it sin. Amen?
Amen.
That's not a habit. Sinning has become a habit, but you need to break that habit if you want to be in the kingdom of heaven. It was this suffering that our Lord Jesus said, I sanctify myself, in other words, I set myself away from the world by his death on the cross. In other words, we also, in order to be sanctified with the Lord, separate ourselves from the world and our worldly thoughts, and our worldly unconcern about being a person that is very neat and orderly and have everything filed in order for the Lord, because he used to do that when you worked for different other people before you got saved. Oh, you know, because they were going to give you some money. And so you were very astute to take care of things. But we have to die. The Lord said, I sanctify myself. I set myself away from the world that they also might be sanctified, that they also might die. In other words, die out to this world and get busy with zeal for the Lord. In other words, that you will set yourself aside from the world. Go through the truth. That means through Christ. Christ is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 17:19. Thus he has become, if of God, our sanctification. In other words, we have to be sanctified. In other words, we have to be no part of the world. No part. of the world. Now, the Lord, he owns the heavens and the earth. He owns this earth. Satan doesn't own the earth. There's a world system that Satan cultivated in this world, on this earth, that isn't of the Lord. It's the devil. It's the Satan's cult, his government, and the media. And they are liars. They lie so much. I get so many letters saying that there's so much lies in newspapers and in the media. And it just was refreshing for them to see the Lord's word in the newspapers. So he has become of God our sanctification. But so, in other words, he died on the cross so that we could also use that example of our having to die out and take up our cross and follow him. If you don't die out and deny yourself, well, then you can't, you're not sanctified. In other words, we're sanctified if Jesus is in us and we're laying before his throne, just as Jesus did when he was here on earth. How could Jesus be here on earth and in us? Well, how could he be in heaven and in us too? It's the same thing. That's how it works. And we are holy only in him. We are holy in him only. So I beseech you, don't think lightly or a little bit as of the power that you have, a holy God who longs to make you holy. Don't think little of the voice of God that calls you to give time to him in the stillness of the glorious prayer room that you're supposed to spend lots of your days in and nights, or your prayer closet, your glorious prayer closet. That's where you meet and unite and fellowship with the Lord, so that he may cause his holiness to be in you and rest upon you. Let it be your business every day in the secrecy of the glorious prayer room and your glorious closet, where you pray to meet your holy God, the holy God. You'll be repaid for your trouble. It may cost you some time, but the reward will be absolutely sure and rich. You will learn to hate sin and to regard it as accursed, and that sin has already been conquered if you're in the Lord. Sin is the only conquered. It is only conquered when you do what I am telling you to do here. The new nature that you'll have, that you'll receive, will give you an absolute fright or horror of sin. The living Christ, the living Jesus, the living Holy God will, as conqueror, be your power and strength, and you will begin to believe the great promise contained in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 and 24. Quote, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly," W-H-O-L-L-Y .. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." The opposition to sin is obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Disobedience is the same as witchcraft. And God is not going to let any witch into heaven. Quote, "For us, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners and are on their way to hell. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." .. You, because the servants of right, become the servants of righteousness. Romans 5:19 and chapter 6, verse 18. In connection with all that has been said about sin and the new life and the reception of the Holy Spirit, receiving Him, we must always give of to obedience the rightful place assigned to it by God. It was because of the fact that Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. Yes, the death of the cross. That God so highly exalted Him. Philippians 2, 8 and 9. And the Apostle Paul, in this connection, exhorts us to, quote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," unquote. That's verse 5. You can see, above everything else, that the obedience of Christ, which was so pleasing to God, must become really the characteristic of our nature as well, and of our entire walk. Just as a servant knows that he must first obey his master in all things, so also the surrender to an implicit and unquestionable obedience must become the essential characteristic of our lives. How little this is understood by Christians. How many times there are those who allow themselves to be misled and rest satisfied with the thought that sin is a necessary evil, that no one is perfect, that one must sin every day. It would be difficult to say how great the harm is which has been done by this horrible false doctrine, this saying. It is one of the chief causes why the sin of disobedience is hardly recognized at all. I've heard myself many Christians speaking about the cause of darkness and weakness. They say, half laughingly, and sometimes laughing a lot. Yes, they say, it's just absolutely a disobedience again. Or, quote, we were just not in the spirit. We try to get rid of a servant as speedily as possible who is working for us, who is habitually disobedient. But is it not regarded as anything bad or extraordinary that a child of God or someone who says they're a child of God should be disobedient every day of their lives? You know, if a person is working for me and they're disobedient, they're not doing what I say, I fire them. But you people think that you can be disobedient to God every day, many times. Disobedience daily is the same as witchcraft. So disobedience is daily acknowledged, and yet there is no turning away from it. And it's acknowledged. It's not a sin of ignorance. When you acknowledge it, it's not ignorance, and it's not forgivable. It's a acknowledging sin, and don't think that you'll get by with it. I know you won't. This is the reason why so much prayer for the power of the Holy Spirit must be offered, and yet so few answer. Answers come back from God. God doesn't answer me, people say. He's put me on hold. Well, I see my time is up. Oh, I've got so much more here. I'd love to preach it to you, but those of you that want to be obedient to the Lord instead of disobedient, say this prayer to Him so that your soul can be saved, so that you can have the power of God living in you and for you. Say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and He shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart. Lord Jesus, wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me and answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And thank the Lord always for this, from now until the time your spirit departs from you. Sharon, tell them four different ways to receive a copy of this tape, please.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, and this is program 289. Make sure to specify it. And this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, until tomorrow, keep praising and thanking the Lord. And here I am with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps singing, How Long Has It Been Since You Prayed?
Since you knew that he cared.